word here. It is a special night because it's Rosh Hashanah, because it's the head of the year, because this is a special appointed time, one of the Moedim that we find in Leviticus 23. And as we begin Rosh Hashanah tonight, the message I have is pretty simple, and there's two parts to it. First of all, at this time of the year, this special time of the year, this is a time that we reflect on our lives. This is a time that we take stock of our lives and think about all of the things that we've done, the things that were good this past year, the things that were not so good this past year, the ways that maybe we can improve. And the second thing is we need to repent of those things. We need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for the ways that we have strayed from Him and the ways that we have treated our fellow man and even ourselves. So this is also a time of repentance. And that doesn't sound fun. You know, it's not a great, you know, message to give, but it is a true message to give, and it's something we all need to hear at this time. So we need to be doing these on Rosh Hashanah, but we need to really be doing these all year long. We should be reflecting. We should be repenting of the ways that we fall short with Hashem, with the Lord. Especially now in this holiday season, as we come before our King, our God, our Redeemer, in a special way together tonight. So we've been preparing ourselves all month with the month of Elul, spiritually speaking, you know, just thinking about things, preparing for this night, preparing for this holiday season, preparing to meet the King, this month of preparation that leads us to Rosh Hashanah, where we acknowledge that God is not just God, He's up there, we're down here, but God is our King. And what that means, God is our King. As we assemble before Him, we have to ask ourselves as we come before the King, what is the state of our lives? What is the state of our heart? Is God reigning as King over our lives? Or is He just kind of a footnote that we get to maybe every Saturday? We think about Him a little bit, then go back to our lives, get back on social media, go back to doing what we do. But is God a central focus of our life? Is He really the King that reigns and that rules over our hearts, over our minds, over ourselves, over our flesh? Many times, we don't even realize it, but we're reigning in our lives. Our flesh is reigning in our lives. Or maybe other things besides God are reigning. And that's not good. We need to have God as our central focus. God is our King. There's only room for one King really in our lives. And it's not your favorite celebrity, and it's not your spouse or even your kids or your father or mother, and it's not anybody else, it's God. It should be God in our lives as our King. This is the time, even though it's a busy time, we're always busy. You know, it seems like every year that goes by, we get busier and busier and busier. It seems like every year that goes by, people have less and less time for God because they're so focused on the busyness of life. And I can understand that. I think that there's a psychological thing with, I mentioned social media a minute ago. I think there's a psychological thing with having that whatever, that, you know, device constantly on. You know, you can never scroll to the end of the internet. I've tried, but you never, actually, I have gotten to the end a couple of times, but that was my phone kind of froze up, you know, the Wi-Fi went bad. You could never get to the end. You continue to scroll, and it can be stressful. It can stress you out. It can kind of make you a slave. They call it doom scrolling. You ever heard of that? Doom scrolling. So sometimes I find myself doom scrolling, and I just kind of lose track of reality. But that's the thing. There's always this news going on. You know, when I was a kid, CNN came out with the headline news, the 24-hour news, you know that? And that was just like the tip of the iceberg. And now the news just doesn't end. And it's like, what did I miss? I got to get back to it, kind of a slave to it. So it has a tendency to become our King. It has a tendency to become something that we're subject to. And we have to really be careful. And this time of year reminds us that we cannot let that become our focus. We cannot let the busyness of life, the busyness of what's out there, cloud us from our time with God. This is a time, as we prepare to come before the Lord our King, that we need to have our lives in order. That starts with an honest assessment. We should all give ourselves an honest assessment of our lives, of our hearts. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. We should take time to think about our lives, to look at our thoughts, our actions, the way we have been living. What have we done right this year? We should take account of that. We should kind of pat ourselves on the back. Listen, I did this right. I was really good about this year. That's always good to do. But where have I strayed from God? What have I done to take my focus off of the King? Where have I sinned? Where have I made mistakes? Where have I fallen short? Let's learn from these things so we can do better in the upcoming year. We're never going to be perfect. And if we think we're going to be perfect, we're always going to be disappointed. But what we can do is strive to be better. We could strive to be that much closer to God as we get into this new year. That should be our focus. How can I get closer to God in my life? How can I make him a little bit more king over my possessions, king over my family, king over my desires? You know, we all have desires. We all have dreams. We all have goals. We all have things that we have to do. And it's very easy to get caught up in those things. But sometimes we need to surrender those things. And we just need to say, God, I'm just going to give it to you. If you give it, if you take it away, it doesn't matter because I'm giving everything to you as my king. And that's a tough thing to do. That's a scary thing to do, to lay it all before the Lord. But at this time, we have to remember that the King sees everything. So he knows what we're going through. He sees our hearts and he wants us to come to him to do better this year and to give it up more and more to him and surrender. This is the time where we need to be introspective and honest. You can't fool God. You may be able to fool me. In fact, a lot of people, I think, fool me. I don't know. I feel like I'm the last person to know things as a rabbi. I think I always get shocked when I hear things from people. But you know what? You can't fool the Lord. You can fool everybody else, maybe even yourself in life. But you can't fool Hashem. But let's not be like a fool, like Proverbs says. Proverbs 26:11. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Kind of graphic, but this is the thing. We kind of repeat that folly all the time, whatever that folly is in your life. So let's be wise. Let's practice wisdom. The first question we should always be asking ourselves is, what have I done? What sins have I committed over this last year? Have I had sinful speech? Have I hurt others with my words, even if I didn't mean to, or my actions? Have I offended other people? Sometimes you can't avoid offending people. Just by breathing, we tend to offend people sometimes. But have I intentionally offended somebody? Or have I taken up an offense that I shouldn't have taken up? That's a big one these days. Have I taken up an offense when I shouldn't have? Have I not represented Yeshua well in my life to other people? So these are hard questions to ask, but this is the time that we have to do this. What about regarding God? Have I turned away from God? Have I sought after other gods? There is this acknowledgement that if we have done wrong, that the first step is admitting it. The first step is saying, I've broken covenant with you, God. I have fallen short, because God wants us to say that. He wants us to come to him. When we look at the liturgy, when we look at the Bible, we see constantly God doesn't want perfection. He just wants us, and he wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to him, warts and all. We have to come and we have to say, I acknowledge before you, Lord, I've broken covenant with you. I've separated myself from you because of my sin. One of the Hebrew words for sin is chet, which means to go astray. You may recognize it because during Yom Kippur services, we say the al chet. It's this laundry list of all these things that we have done all year. And you may get to it and you may say to yourself, I haven't done that one. I'm pretty good. I haven't done that one. I'm pretty good. You get to about the third or fourth one and I guarantee you, you've done it. We've probably done half at least of those things. Whether it's a word that we shouldn't have said, a thought that we shouldn't have thought, or a decision that we shouldn't have made. We all have to be honest about it. And this holiday season, it's not fun, but it's honesty time with God. And it's cathartic. It's good to go through this process. So we need to go through this process. For the sin we've committed, Lord, we acknowledge it and we come to you. Now, how do we understand what we should be focusing on? What should I be focusing on with the Lord? Well, the way that we understand how we have fallen short from God is, of course, opening up our Bibles and reading our Bibles. My challenge to you, my challenge to myself is this year, as we come into this new year, start a Bible reading plan. Have some time every day where you read the scriptures, where they come alive to you, because when we read the book that's God's words, we understand what God wants. We understand his ways, we understand his thoughts. It's our guidebook for righteous living. In our siddurs, I believe I mentioned this on my Shabbat service a couple days ago, but we come to it during the Marib service, which is the night service that we have in the beginning of our siddurs. We come to it in the Shacharit service, which is the morning service that we have every week at Kol Mashiach. But there's always this passage that's been put in because we have Messianic siddurs. So in our siddurs, there's liturgy that's put in that's from the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament as well, talking about Yeshua. And one of the principal passages, right before we get to the statement of faith, the Shema, is Mark chapter 12, 28 to 30. One of the scribes came up and I heard him disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked, "Which commandment is the most important of all? Yeshua answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." It doesn't mean you give God the leftovers of your mind after you've been doom scrolling forever. It doesn't mean you give God the leftovers of your energy after you've done all your other pursuits and we don't have time for God. It doesn't mean any of those things are necessarily bad, but in moderation, understanding that the most important thing, as Yeshua taught us, is to love the Lord with all your heart and your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Do we really love God with all of ourselves? James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word." So let me stop right there. So again, let's open up our Bibles more this year, because when we open up the word, we learn how to live our lives for God. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." It's easy to do that. It's easy to read something and then just in the Bible and then just go on our merry way and just forget all about it. But if we are intentional with opening our Bibles, if we're intentional about growing closer to God our King this coming year, this is our challenge. This is my challenge. This is your challenge. It is good. It is healthy. It is right to do this and to get honest with God. Okay, that's part one. Part two, after we've reflected, and this comes after, we've reflected honestly about where we've been. We've taken stock. We've taken an account. We've seen what we've done right. Great. Yay, us. We've seen what we do wrong. Yikes, I got to fix that. I got to work on that. Then after we acknowledge it, we turn from the bad. And that turning, there's a word for that, and it's called repentance. Teshuva in Hebrew. It's, you know, Jews turn back because we were turned to God at one point, you know, and then, like many times in the Bible, the Jewish people turned away. And when you do teshuva, you turn back. And many of us, all of us, I'd say, Jew, Gentile, man, woman, young, old, rich, poor, we have turned away from God in a lot of ways, and we need to do teshuva, and we need to turn back to God, and we need to repent. It's a very important concept. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. "From that time, Yeshua began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I always find it interesting. This is the first thing Yeshua says when he starts his earthly ministry. It always is interesting to me because he doesn't say, "Hey, I'm here, everybody. I'm the Messiah. Come and follow me. Let me show you all the good things you have to do. Come on, get behind me. Let's go. Let's get to work." He says, "Repent." It's the very first thing. So it's very important. It echoes what John the Baptist was saying, who had a ministry of repentance, of baptizing the Jordan River. But Yeshua begins by saying, "Repent." It's really where we should start this season. For why? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm not saying heaven is here right now, But there's work to be done for the kingdom. And I'm not saying you have to go to Africa and be a missionary. And I'm not saying you got to go and, you know, work at the soup kitchen every day and you got to go do. I'm saying you have to represent Yeshua in your lives, and I have to represent Yeshua in my life. That means a smile to somebody, kindness to somebody, just talking to somebody about something, just doing a mitzvah, doing something good for someone, helping somebody out. It's these little things that are actually big things within the kingdom of God. But the first thing is repent. We as humans have missed the mark. We've missed the standard of holiness that God has because of sin, and we need to repent from it. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. Guess what? So this is really interesting because I put Psalm 51 in here, and guess where we are in our Tehillim Psalm series? Next Shabbat, Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of return, is going to be Psalm 51. I'm going to get to Psalm 51. It's perfect. I didn't time it like this, but thank you, Lord. Psalm 51, very personal Psalm of David, beginning with verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God. You can almost see him beating his chest like at Yom Kippur. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your chesed, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified by in your words and blameless in your judgment. You know, God is the one that's blameless in all of his judgments. We may want to deflect. Oh, I didn't do that, God. I wasn't that bad. I didn't do that. God is, he's the judge. Remember, we talked about that in Psalm 50. He sees all, he knows all. And even then, he's got this wonderful chesed for you and I, this loving kindness, this mercy that knows no end. But he's blameless in his judgment. The word for repentance in Hebrew is teshuvah, to repent and to return to God. During the weekday morning and afternoon prayers, there's a section of the service. We don't do it on Shabbat, but there's a section of the service called Tachanun. And this is verses, passages, you can find it in the siddurs, from the Bible. They're from the Bible, and they are confessions of sins. They are petitions for God's mercy and his grace based on where we've fallen short. And it's interesting where it falls within the service structure. We come to the prayer, which is called the Shemoneh Esrei, the Amidah. We did it tonight. We always do it. And it says symbolically, as if you were in the Holy of Holies with God himself. You are right there with God face to face, like the high priest was. And it's there that you're petitioning him. And on non-Shabbat days, you have all these things that you say for the Amidah, all these prayers. But right after that is Tachanun. It's like a deep time of reflection, of repentance, of saying, God, I fell short this year. I fell short today. And you're pleading for God's mercy and grace, which he always gives, which is awesome. In the siddur that we have, there is this Bible passage within Tachanun that I really, really like. And I'm going to quote from it now. It's from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's beautiful. And that's right there. They put, because it's a messianic siddur, it's right there in the Tachanun prayers. It's awesome. And you, when you pray it, you just know that God is responding when we respond to him. And again, I said, none of this feels good. The problem with today's brand of religion is everything's about what feels right. None of this feels right to be here and to do this, but it's the right thing to do. And we have to stop basing and making our king our feelings. We have to make objective truth of the one who came and died for us and our king as the truth, not our feeling. So it doesn't feel good, but we need to recognize it and not run from all of this. When we repent, we're sorry for the way we behaved. We're truly sorry to God. Not just saying, I'm sorry. You ever say, I'm sorry just to get out of something, you know, with your parents or somebody else? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Whew, got out of that. You know, you have to really be sorry. You have to want to turn 180 degrees. You have to want to do teshuvah. Lord, we're sorry for the way we have behaved. Sorry for straying from you and your ways. We seek a reconnection with you tonight. We seek a reconnection with you this year. Last scripture tonight, back to Psalm 51, verses 10, 11, and 12. David says this after he pours out his heart to God in confession, like a major tachanun prayer. I screwed up. And we know the screw up was probably Bathsheba, which was a big one. And what does he say now? Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. We think that we have to just flog ourselves and feel bad all the time. No, you come to God, you repent, you feel bad, yes, but what he does is he restores the joy of his salvation to us if we allow it. You have to sit in that sin for a little bit and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And then you have to, as we're going to do tomorrow with Tashlik, you have to throw it away. And that's a very hard thing for us to do as well. So we're going to be reminding ourselves about that tomorrow when we do Tashlik. But God, restore to me that after I've repented, after I've really come to you and I've said I'm sorry and I've really made restitution for that, restore to me the joy of your salvation and renew your Holy Spirit within me. That should be our prayer, and that can be our prayer this Rosh Hashanah and every day of our lives. So this year, take time to repent. Take time to reflect, because we're here to meet the King. This is the time. It's an exciting time because God is in our midst. He's been in the fields preparing to come to us, and now we're meeting with him on this Rosh Hashanah. So I say to you, Happy New Year. As you reflect, as you repent, as the joy of your salvation is restored, may your joy increase this year as we go with the Lord. Shalom.